I'm going to be sharing about the idea, the reality of what it means for us to come into perfection, which is also to say what it means to become a mature son, and what does maturity mean? And one of the main foundational scriptures of that, I'm going to say reality, because we need to learn how to shift out of, it's going to begin with a thought, but this is not an idea that I'm talking about. Although it's going to begin in our mind through thoughts as we ponder and meditate upon these things, but ultimately it's about a reality. It's about a truth of what is possible and what God is wanting to do in each and every one of us. So this is way more than just thinking a new thought or an idea. This is a reality in the kingdom of heaven for all of us, and for Christ to come forth, for Christ to be fully formed in us, and to know the reality of what it means to be a mature son in his house and in his kingdom. And so one of the main scriptures that alludes to this is in Hebrews 6. And I'm gonna share quite a few scriptures today with you. So it might be a little tedious, but I just want to, just for the sake of the recording, I want to, just read chapter, verse. And so that way it's on the recording for those that will listen to this so that they can go and look through the scriptures for themselves and just have a starting point. And so in Hebrews 6, it says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." So here again in that verse 1 of chapter 6 in Hebrews, the focus of what I want to share about today is that phrase, that part of the verse that says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go into perfection." And so that's what I want to just share today is, what is that perfection? What is Holy Spirit saying? Not simply stating perfect in the sense of what we might think of, we don't do anything wrong, we don't sin anymore, perfect in that sense. The word really is alluding to and pointing to the idea of maturity or completion, or when a tree or a plant comes to maturity, when they're bearing the fullness of the fruit that is possible for them to bear, and they're able to bear fruit. So, I mean, there's different signs, there's different factors that would evidence that state of maturity. But the point is that it's talking about maturity. It's talking about growing up and coming into a place of completion and wholeness in the Father. In the context of what I'm talking about is just us as Christians, and Christ in us, the hope of glory, Christ coming forth in the fullness. Let me go ahead and jump over to Ephesians 4 real quick. Because this would be another maybe definition or an explanation of possibly how you could define perfection or maturity. And it's in Ephesians 4 where it just talks about he gave some to be apostles. Ephesians 4, verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay? So that word perfect in verse 14 is the word teleos in the Greek, and it's Strong's number 5046. So that word is the same word that's being used. Well, it's a root word that's being used in Hebrews 6, verse 1. And in Hebrews 6, verse 1, that word for perfection in that verse is Strong's number 5047, which is teleotes. And that means perfectness or perfection is how it is translated. But the word, the main Greek word that we want to look at is the 5046. Strong's number 5046, teleos. And that word has been translated as perfect 17 times, man, and of full age. And I'm going to read the rest of the definition that I got off of the Bible software that I use. The definition reads, brought to its end, finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness, perfect, that which is perfect, consummate human integrity and virtue of men, full-grown adult or of full age, mature. So that's what the word teleos is communicating in the scriptures. So whenever we see the word perfect, and I'm going to go through a lot of the scriptures where that word is used so we can kind of begin to see the pattern or the thread of perfection, the thread of maturity that God is speaking to us in His scripture, because this is the I'm just going to say age that we are entering into. It is the age that perfection is going to come forth because the sons are manifesting and the manifested son is going to live and know and abide in that place of perfection, being completely whole and mature in the Father. And so that's where we're going. If you listen to the last message that we posted, it's called The Transition of the Ages. And I define what an age is, and that, you know, we're at the end of an age and we're coming into the beginning of an age, and we're in this place of transition, you know, from the end of one and the beginning of another. And so the age that is coming, the age that we're entering into, the generations that are coming are going to more and more reflect the fullness of Christ and the perfection and the maturity that is possible for us to walk in and to live in Christ Jesus. And so it's just simply for me, for us to begin to have a grid, for us to begin to have an understanding of what that word teleos is communicating or speaking to us, so that we can begin to ponder, so that we can begin to think. And as we meditate upon these words, then Father God will meet us in that meditation. He'll meet us in that time of thinking and chewing upon these things, and the reality will begin to open up for us as we desire perfection, as we desire maturity, because we now are beginning to realize that it's possible, it's true, it's real, it's His purpose, it's His desire for us is to be mature. And so as we just begin to desire the reality of that, Father will meet us in that and begin to walk us. He's already been walking us in that process, whether we realize it or not. But now as we grow in our discernment of what He's doing in and around our life, we can begin to understand the process. We can begin to understand what it is that He's doing, so that we can more and more say yes and just embrace what He's doing, to embrace the process, you know, that He's using different people in our life, different situations, just the external things in our life that Father God is using to mold us and to shape us and to bring forth Christ in us and to reveal our heart, to reveal the brokenness, to reveal the things where darkness is still resonating in our soul, where there's still brokenness. And Father is after those places, because those are the very places where Christ has not been made Lord yet in that place, because darkness is there, because there's just brokenness. Whatever that is, it doesn't really matter. It's just time for Christ to come. It's time for Christ to fill us to the fullness of what is possible, and for the fullness of Christ to come forth. And so here again, Hebrews 6 is one of the core scriptures for me when we're talking about maturity and perfection. You know, we've got to... At some point, we've got to adhere to the scripture. I'm going to say that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. So Paul is stating in this chapter right here, in this letter, in this part of the letter to the Hebrews, that he's saying, let us leave the discussion of the elementary things. It's like, we can't keep talking about these things. We can't keep discussing these things. We've got to begin to, in this context, we've got to begin to speak about perfection. We've got to begin to seek out what is perfection. What is maturity? Father, what does that look like? What is that about? What does that mean? Because as he begins to reveal perfection and maturity in him, what that is, what it looks like, the process, and we can begin to communicate that. We can begin to have a language for that so that everyone else, you know, that we get to interact with, as we get to speak to them about perfection and maturity in the Father, of what it means to be a son. That's the words that the other scripture that's coming to mind right now is the one in Hebrews where it says, he framed up this world with his words. And so it's us beginning to have the language and the words so that we can speak and frame up the reality of that world of maturity and perfection in the Father, as we begin to see it, as we begin to receive that language and the revelation of what that is, and we can begin to communicate that, then we are framing up the reality of that world so that not only we can come into it, but those that we get to share that with, those that we get to speak that we get to speak with about that, that they as well can begin to come up, that come into that. That can begin to open up to, for them as well in their own personal life, as they can just hear the words that's being released, and that word framing that thing up for them, then they can also come into the reality of that. And so, here again, this is for all believers. This is not just for a remnant of people. You know, the remnant is the ones that have said yes, but it is for the rest of the people that haven't said yes yet. And so, you know, to really steer clear of any judgment or condemnation or pride, it's just, you know, this is the possibility. This is the reality of what Christ has given us. And this is the desire of Father's heart for us, to see his sons come forth and to see his sons manifest in the earth so that the restoration of all things can take place. Because that is where this is going. That is the end result of a manifested son, of that company of people in the earth that are manifesting the fullness, that are in that place of perfection and maturity in the Father. They will be an integral part of the restoration of all things, preparing the way for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to come and to receive his inheritance, to take his rightful place. Whenever Father says, now, go and receive your inheritance, at whatever Kairos moment, whatever that appointed time is, at the end of the, whatever age that is, as another transition of ages happens from the age to the millennial reign, to the age of the millennial reign. But at any rate, to just stay focused on perfection today. So I'm just going to go through some of the scriptures now, and I'm just going to begin to read the scriptures, and I might, you know, rabbit trail at different times as we're going through the scriptures. So here again, it's just really for the listener, for all of you that would hear this recording, to be able to just sit with the Father and to go through these scriptures, and just for him to begin to open up the reality of perfection for you, maturity, becoming a mature son, and what that means, what that looks like, and just yielding to that process. So here again, the word teleos, it comes from the primary root Greek word is telos, and that's Strong's number 5056, and it's translated as end, custom, uttermost, finally, ending. And some of the definitions are termination, the limit at which a thing ceases to be, but not of the end of a period of time. The end, the last in any succession or series, eternal, that by which a thing is finished, its close, issue, the end to which all things relate, the aim, purpose, toll, or custom. And so in So in Matthew 5, verse 48. In Matthew 5, verse 48, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." And so the word perfect in the scripture is the teleos, the 5046, which means whole or complete or mature. And I want to go ahead and bring in a Hebrew word that I believe is connected to this Greek word teleos. That it's the Greek word that expresses perfection and maturity is teleos. And what I've begun to see is that the Hebrew word that expresses the same idea or concept is that word of shalom. And the literal definition of shalom is nothing lacking, nothing missing, complete and whole as it was in the beginning. Which we know by the scriptures, you know, the finished work of the cross, we know that Jesus Christ has restored us back to the Father, that he's made a way for us to come back to the original intent as it was in the beginning, before the curse of sin and death entered into creation, before that choice was made to rebel and to choose our own way and to sin and to rebel against the word of our Father. So here again, the word shalom for me has become a Hebrew expression of that same concept of maturity or wholeness or completeness. And the word Jerusalem, as we know, the city in Israel, Jerusalem, in the Hebrew it's pronounced Yerushalayim. And the word Yerushalayim literally means they will see wholeness. The Yeru is a root word that comes from the verb to see. And the shalayim is a plural form, if I'm not mistaken, of shalom. But here again, the word literally means they shall see completeness. Okay? So it's Father's will for us to be complete. And the cool part with that to me is when you get into Hebrews 12 and Paul is talking about you haven't come to a mountain that's burning with fire and smoke and thunder and lightning and all those things. But he says, you have come now. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Yerushalayim, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. And so, by faith now, we've come into that heavenly Yerushalayim, that place of completeness and wholeness that we know by faith and through the scriptures that we've been perfected in him, that we've been made whole because we've been born of the Spirit, and in our spirit we are perfect and whole and complete in him. And it's that perfection, it's that completeness, it's that wholeness that is working its way out. It's Christ in us, okay? It's Christ in us that's working its way out. And when I say Christ, I'm going to refer to the anointing, the Mashiach, the smearing, the rubbing. It's that anointing of sonship. It's the anointing of God upon us as sons. And it's that anointing to come forth. And it's that anointing to break the yoke. It's that anointing to allow our soul to enter into the rest that we've been given in Christ Jesus. And to also to receive the life, the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us, and that same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells within us and even gives life to our mortal bodies. So it's that life that is working its way out from the inside out, spirit, soul, and body, so that we can be completely transformed and ultimately transfigured into the image and likeness of our Father God, because that is the one. He is the one that we've been created in His likeness and image. And it is that image that is being restored. It is that reflection that is being restored. It is that reflection that will be seen again in His creation, in and through His sons. And so let's keep moving forward. Matthew 19, verse 21. Matthew 19, verse 21. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. So that word perfect again is teleos, and that's when Jesus was speaking to the rich young ruler. And he's like, I'm obeying the law. I'm keeping the commandments. But what more should I do? What do I still lack? And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go and do this. And I really believe that in that moment, Jesus was revealing the idol that was in his heart. And I forget who or where that someone shared this with me, but scholars believe that Barnabas in Acts is that rich young ruler, and that, you know, he left, and when he came back, he was able to make that choice, and he was able to do what Jesus had encouraged him to do, so that he could enter into that perfection. So the next verse, Romans 12, verse 2. And this is another just really awesome verse. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that word perfect, again, is the teleos word, meaning whole, complete, fulfilled, finished will of God. And to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's a whole nother message for another time, but that's a really rich verse to just meditate on and just spend time just seeking the Father about. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Okay? So that word mature in verse 6 is that teleos word. And here again, it gets translated as mature, man, full of age, or perfect, okay? 1 Corinthians 13:10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with, okay? That which is perfect, that which is complete, that which is whole, nothing missing, nothing lacking, that which is in part will be done away with. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. Okay? There's that. That's the teleos word again. And I've already read Ephesians 4:13. Philippians 3:15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. And so I want to just park here for just a second and just share that that's a really good scripture to pray into, because it says that as many as are mature have this mind. Okay, but if there's anything in you that is not mature, okay, then Father God will reveal it to you. So I would just encourage you to begin to use that scripture as a prayer point, as a point of prayer, a point of the restoration of the soul, and begin to just seek the Father about Father, if there's anything in me that is not complete and whole in my thinking, in my mind, I ask you to reveal it so I can see the truth of what that is, so that the truth can come and set me free, and so that I can enter into a greater place of maturity and freedom in you in Christ. And so that is a really good verse to just use to bring about some restoration in your own life, and to just really interact with the Father, engage with him in the reality of, if there's any thinking in you that's not mature, then Father, I ask you now to reveal it so that I can be set free from the limitations and the deceptions of those thoughts that are less than, that are incomplete, that are not whole, that are missing and lacking the truth of whatever that's about. And so, Father, I just ask for the truth to be revealed concerning that. So here again, that's a really good verse to just spend some time on. Colossians 1:28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Okay? That was Paul's ambition. That was his goal, his purpose, was to bring us into perfection, to present us as a perfect man in Christ Jesus. That was what he was laboring for, was to bring that about. And I'm going to save Hebrews towards the end, because there's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That word teleos and one or two of the other root words is used like 12 times in the book of Hebrews. So if you really take a step back and you can look at the broad stroke of the book of Hebrews, it really is talking about perfection. It's talking about the covenant that can bring forth perfection. And, you know, here, that's a teaching that I put up called the Covenant of Perfection and the Power of an Endless Life. And that's kind of the idea, or the context of that teaching, is that we have entered into a covenant, that we are in a covenant that can bring forth that perfection that God is longing for, that he desires for us to know and to enter into. So James 1:4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay? So that's a really good verse to kind of communicate the finished work, the fulfillment, the completion of that patience, and the working of that patience to be finished and completed, so that we will be lacking nothing from the working of that patience, from the finished work of that patience. And here again, that is the teleos word again. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So every perfect gift, every complete and whole gift from the Father. And then 1 John, this is the perfect love scriptures in 1 John. And it just talks about, you know, that perfect love, casting out fear, a mature love, a complete and whole love, a love that is not missing anything. And so it's that mature love that God is wanting to bring forth. It's his love, and it's the fullness of his love that is possible for us to receive and to live out of, and it is that love that we can release in and around our life so that we can love others as Christ loved us, as God loves us, you know, so that we can love ourselves, so that we can love others to that same measure, because we can only love to the measure that we've received the love of our Father. It's, you know, that measure of his love that we've received is the only measure that we have to release, and anything beyond that is human compassion, and it's carnal and fleshly. I mean, And so it's just, it's not the love of God. It's not the fullness of that love yet. We still only have a measure that we're able to release, because we haven't been able to receive the fullness of his love yet. And that's why Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, you know, the higher heights, deeper depths, wider widths, and a wider breadth, to know the knowledge of the love of Christ that surpasses all understanding. And it's the knowledge of that love that it's obviously it's limitless. You know, there's no limitations or boundaries or it's an eternal love. It's an infinite love. It's all encompassing. And there's a couple scriptures in John that John 17 is a really good one, and that's one of my favorite chapters. The priestly prayer of Jesus. And the one verse in general is the John 17:23. And it's that whole John 21 through 23, really. And I'm going to start at verse 20 in John 17, verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Their word being the apostles, the disciples, and the words that they would preach and teach once Jesus has ascended. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that we may be made perfect. I'm sorry, that they may be made perfect in one. That perfect word is the teleos word. Whole and complete, mature. And there's the connection with the Ephesians 4. You know that some were given to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, preachers for the equipping of the bodies. So that the fullness and stature of Christ, a mature man, so that we can become mature, so that we can become perfected in Christ, so that we can become mature, whole, and complete, lacking nothing in him. Okay? That's the process that Father's doing, and that's where he's bringing a generation. That's where he's wanting to bring us into that reality. So I'm going to finish reading. Verse 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Okay? So I'm going to go back into Hebrews now. So those are the majority of the scriptures that I wanted to read. And then I'm just probably going to spend the rest of my time in Hebrews, because those are the ones, like I said, when you can step back and really look at the broad brush, one of the big things, one of the main points of what's being communicated in the book of Hebrews is the changing of the priesthood. You know, Paul is defining, you know, the Levitical priesthood and what's going on in that priesthood. And one of the things that he points out in Hebrews 7, verse 11, and here again, if you go and listen to that teaching, the covenant of perfection and the power of the endless life, this is the verse that I use. This is the verse that is the main scriptural foundation for that whole concept or thought. Hebrews 7, verse 11, therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? Okay? So right there, it simply states that perfection was not possible in the Levitical priesthood, that priesthood could not bring about the maturity and completeness and perfection that is now possible in the new covenant, in a priesthood of the order of Melchizedek, of which we have been birthed into, of which we have been brought into because of the finished work of the cross, because of the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ slain before the foundations of the world, because of his blood and the sprinkling of his blood in the heavenly tabernacle, not made by hands, that he's there now as our priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, interceding for us. And so it's that priesthood, the order of Melchizedek, it is that priesthood that can bring us into perfection now. And so, here again, that is one of the big things that's being communicated in the whole book of Hebrews, is about the changing of the priesthood, going from the Levitical to the Melchizedek, the order of Melchizedek. And under a new priesthood is a changing of the law. For the in verse 12 it says, "For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, out of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest, who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life." Amen. That's a good one. I love that one. So let's back up into Hebrews chapter 5. Because this is, if you read, if you go through chapter 5 into chapter 6, and really, I'm just going to start at the beginning of chapter 5, and I'm going to go, and then I'll highlight or emphasize, you know, the perfection part of when Paul is speaking about perfection and being childlike and becoming a mature man of full age. And so just to see the context and to see the what Paul is communicating through these passages and to see it a little more clearly. So, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him," and this comes out of Psalms 110, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." So that perfected word is another root word of the whole teleos idea, being complete, finished, whole, lacking nothing, mature. "So he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." Now this is where we need to pay attention. "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God," or the elementary things of God. "And you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Okay? And that phrase, "those who are of full age," that full age is that word teleos, which is it's a root word that's connected to the Hebrews 6 verse 1, perfection. He's speaking of the same thing in that series of scriptures right there, that maturity, perfection, wholeness, completeness, a mature son, someone that is of full age, they have become skilled in that word of righteousness, having trained their senses. Okay, so it's very clear in Scripture that perfection or maturity is the goal, is the objective, is the point of the cross, the finished work of the Christ, that Father is longing and desiring to bring us into that place of perfection. And that it's not, I just see this simply as, you know, truth, part of the Reformation, one of the big things of the Reformation has been the restoration of truth, okay? And from Martin Luther until now, Father has been restoring truth to the body of Christ. Okay? So there's been a restoration of truth that has been happening for the last 400 or 500 years as the different reformers that have gone ahead of us that have released the revelation and the truth of that measure of truth that Father God revealed to them and purposed for them to release and establish in his creation, you know? Okay? So this idea right now, because by faith, right now I'm embracing this thought, this idea, because I know it's real, it's true, and it's possible for me to put, for me to go on into perfection, which is to say maturity, completeness of full age, becoming a mature son in my Father's house and in his kingdom, to understand what it means to rule and to reign, to sit on a throne with my brother, Jesus, my big brother, Jesus, the one who died for me, that gave his life for me, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So God is raising me up. God is revealing to me what it means to be a Lord, what it means to be a King. And he's sending his seven spirits to tutor us, to instruct and to govern us as sons, as we're in this place of immaturity, bringing us to maturity, that these ministering spirits and all the heavenly hosts, the cloud of witnesses, Father, I will just say this. Father has many hosts that he can and will send to, in and around your life, to teach you some stuff about the Spirit, about the things of the kingdom, what it means to be a son, what it means to sit in the heavenly places that you've been seated in Christ Jesus. So for me, this perfection that I'm talking about, this maturity that I'm talking about, is us learning how to live out of the heavens. And so if you would say, Sean, well, what does that look like? What does that mean? And so some of the things that I believe, if I were to define it for you, would be us learning how to live in the heavens as a mature son, us learning how to engage those heavenly places that we've been seated in. And so you may have heard me say this before, and it's worth repeating. Those heavenly places right now, for most of us, are still filled with darkness because they haven't been revealed yet, because that is part of those things that were given over to darkness when Adam rebelled and when sin entered in. That's part of the kingdoms that were being offered back to Jesus in Matthew 4. It's part of our inheritance. It's part of the land. That land that is for us to occupy is in the Spirit. It's not this. It's not just this physical, temporal, natural realm that is for us to occupy and to steward and to dwell in, but there's also a heavenly realm. There's also a heavenly land. There's a land in the Spirit that God is wanting to establish us. He's wanting to reveal these heavenly places to us so that we can take our place as a mature son and to rule and to reign according to his perfect will and his word. Okay, and so that would be a definition, an example, or an explanation of perfection and maturity. What does that look like? Where is this going? What is God wanting to do in each and every one of us that would hear this message, that would respond, that would say yes to the stirring of the Spirit within you, to the Spirit within you that's crying, Abba, Father. And the one that cries, Abba, Father, is a son, not an orphan, not a slave, not a servant, but a son. A child of God cries, Abba, Father, because they know that he is their Father. And it is that cry within you that is going to bring you into that reality of sonship, that reality of maturing as a son, so that you can take your place in the heavenly places, so that you can go into the courts, so that you can go into all the, just everything that Father has for us to do as a son, because it's time for us to begin to know and to understand what it means to be spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. We're going to begin to understand that. We've already begun to understand that to a measure, but God has begun to he's revealing it more and more, giving us more understanding to see how he created creation, to understand the created creation, to see the patterns and the design and how it functions, how it's supposed to function, and then even more so, his creation being restored back into glory, because that is the restoration of all things. His creation being restored. Everything that was usurped, everything that was given over to darkness, being restored back into his house, being restored back into the glory of our Father. And that is going to happen in and through his sons. Okay? So the maturity. And the other, another scripture that would go with this whole thought or idea of perfection is the scripture in 1 John where it says, those that are born of God sin not. Okay? That is a, I mean, I haven't heard too many people preaching on that scripture because there really hasn't yet been a very clear understanding, I believe, of what that means, of what John is alluding to in that scripture. But I'm just here to tell you that a mature son, so this would be another explanation, that a mature son, perfection and maturity, wholeness and completeness, nothing lacking or missing as it was in the beginning, that maturity and perfection in the Father means that we have entered into the fullness of Christ. Christ has fully stood up. The bright morning star has risen in our heart. We are fully living in the reality of Christ consciousness, okay? And it is in that place that we have fully identified as a spirit being, where we understand what it means to live in and out of our spirit. I am a spirit that has a soul. And so that soul realm, I've said this before, the soul is of a spiritual nature, but it is not your spirit, okay? The soul is of a spiritual substance or nature, but it is not your spirit. And that is where sin operates. That is where the fruit of sin comes from, is out of the brokenness that's in the soul. And that's why the soul has to be restored. That's why the soul has to be healed and restored. And it's in that restoration that we can know the reality of a fully restored soul. We have to believe that it's possible, that we can know the words that Jesus said, that the enemy is coming, but he has nothing in me. And it will not be a prideful statement to know that. It will just be a reality that we know we're living out of, that we can know the reality of having a fully restored soul, living out of our spirit, moving in and out of this realm, and going up and down and to and fro, coming out of the heavens and going back and forth in and around the earth, in and through his creation. Okay? So it's, and I do believe Moses was an evidence of this as well as Jesus. Both of them were transfigured, okay? Moses came down the mountain. And this is my thought. Father hasn't said anything to me about this, but I really believe that Moses would not have died because he was transfigured on that mountain. And when he came off that mountain, one of two things. Either he wouldn't have died or he would have lived he would have lived as long as they were living at the beginning, after Adam and the successive generations before God said, enough, I'm done with contending with man. They will only live for 120 years. So I really believe that Moses would have gone way beyond 120 years. Who knows how long he would have lived, but it would have been for a very long time because he was transfigured. He was changed by the glory of our Father. Okay? And the life that was restored in him and being changed. And so I do believe that in the days to come, in the generations ahead, the manifested sons, there will be a transfiguring, that we will know the reality of that transformation in Romans 12 that I read earlier, the renewing of the mind. Okay? It's not the mind that gets transformed. The mind is being renewed, and it's the transformation that's going to happen from that renewing, and it's that transformation is part of this sonship, is part of us manifesting as sons, because the renewing of the mind is us embracing the truth of the things of our Father and of his house and of his kingdom and everything that he wants us to know and to understand, and it's the reality of that that's going to renew the mind, the truth of those things coming into the mind, being established, that's going to bring a transformation within us so that we can look more like our Father, more and more, and act like him, speak like him, move like him. Everything about him, we will reflect him. Just as Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We were all created in the image of our Father. And so if we can just simply know and realize and believe, That we were all created in His image. We know that by faith. We know that by the Scripture, but we don't yet know the reality of that. And so any unbelief in us needs to go now in Jesus' name. And we've just simply got to believe the truth of what is possible. And I said it the other night, the premise of all things restored, the premise, the starting point of all of this for me has been that Scripture in Mark 9:23. I believe it's 9:23, but it's in Mark 9. And Jesus simply said, if you can, question mark. If you can believe, question mark. All things are possible for those who believe. Okay? And if you go and listen to the teaching on the website about all things and all truth, it's very clear in Scripture that we have been given all things, that all things have been reconciled, and that we have been given all things in Christ. And it's very clear in Scripture that we've been given all things. And so my desire or focus has been, since all of this began, that if all things are possible, then I need to ask the Father, I need to find out what those things are so that I can begin to believe for them, so that they can become a reality in my life, so that I can enter into the reality of whatever that is that Father is wanting me to know and to understand and come into the reality of that thing. And so it has to begin with out of our relationship with our Father, beginning to inquire of Him in His temple and beginning to seek out these questions with Him. And what I've learned is until we can ask the right question, we're not ready for the revelation. So we've got to learn how to ponder. We've got to learn how to meditate and chew and dissect these ideas, these beliefs of what's possible. You know, translation. What else? Transfiguring, transformation, you know, just the reality of what's possible, that I'm spirit, that I'm spirit having soul that lives in a body, just all the things that are possible, and just learning more and more what it means to meditate, what it means to chew and to ponder these things so that we can ultimately ask the right question, and then it can open up. Then that truth can begin to be revealed, because now we're at a place to receive the truth of what that is. And it's just like you've heard me say before in John 16, Jesus says, I have to go. There is much I want to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. There is much that I want to tell you, but you cannot bear it right now. So the Holy Spirit's going to come, and the Holy Spirit is going to reveal all truth to you. Okay? So even in the Scripture, we've been promised. We've been given by the guarantee, the promised gift of His Holy Spirit. We've been given His Spirit, and His Spirit is going to lead us into all truth if we let Him do that, okay? It all comes back to our will. It all comes back to our choice, that we're always faced with a choice. We always have to make the choice, yes or no. I will or I won't. I do or I don't. I believe that or I don't believe that. It all originates from out of our choice and our will, okay? So here again, a lot of this today is for us to begin to ponder, for us to begin to think, to begin to engage with the Father in the reality of what it means to go into perfection, to go on to perfection, to go on into maturity. What does that look like? What does it mean? What is that going to look like? How is that going to affect me? What, you know, just all of the questions that can come up because of that thought. And so, so here again, a lot of that is the kingdom of heaven being revealed, and us knowing what it means to be spirit, and us knowing what's rightfully ours in Christ Jesus, and just simply desiring to receive what is rightfully ours. Because the only reason we don't have is because we haven't asked, and there's a lot of stuff that we have not known to ask for. But I'm telling you today, I'm telling you now that God is beginning to reveal, God is beginning to show us what to ask for. He's beginning to release, reveal the reality of these things that have been in darkness, that's part of the fall, that's, you know, the creation that is in darkness, the part of creation that is in darkness, and the things of the kingdom that are in darkness, and those things being restored to the sons. Okay? So perfection and maturity. So that's where this is going. And so here again, it's just us being childlike and just simply inquiring of the Father. And then hopefully, you know, you have a group of people where you live or you fellowship with, where you're like-minded, like hearts, just passionate, desiring these things, running after God together. And if you don't, then, you know, I pray for you now. It's like, Father, now, those that are listening, Father, Lord, that you would connect them, that you would surround them, Father. You would begin to just bring people in and around their life, Father, that are running after these things, that are seeking after, Father, Lord, the reality of being a son and just the things of heaven, Father, to grow and to mature and to the understanding of these things. And so, Father, I just ask for those people, Father, to begin to just be connected together, Father, so that they can encourage one another, so that they can edify one another and sharpen each other, Father, and just run together, Father, in the things that you have for them to run into. And so, so here again, going back to the Hebrews 6, the elementary things, this is for us here at All Things Restored. This is something that we talk about off and on quite a bit. The elementary things, unless Father God is very clear about us talking about grace and the finished work of the cross and those kind of things, we're going to be more focused on the perfection of maturity and let us go on unto maturity. We've got to begin to talk about those things. We've got to begin to seek those things out. And then when Father is wanting us to revisit, you know, an elementary principle of the gospel, then we've got to trust that he will direct us in that. He will lead us into that. And so I said it the other night where, you know, I was speaking about Kenneth Hagin and him being the father of faith and just the faith, the teaching of faith that God raised him up to release and to impart into the body of Christ. And as a believer, if you don't have faith and understanding of faith in your foundation, then he would be a really great place for you to start and to go allow Father God to work that faith into your foundation. An elementary thing of the gospel is faith and understanding of faith. And so, you know, and that's where discipleship comes in. That's where people in relationship that are discipling others in the reality of the things of the kingdom, of how to have relationship with God, of walking with God. I mean, that's that one-on-one relationship, day in and day out life, just spending time together with people, not in a corporate setting, not so much in a corporate setting. Discipling needs to happen in that relationship outside of the four walls. We are outside of the building, you know, in daily life and just the people that God has you to be in relationship with, or the new believers that God is bringing in and around your life. You know, I would just say to the listener now, how many disciples do you have in your life? How many people are in your life now that you're speaking into, that you're discipling, that you're praying with, that you're reading your word with, whether it's one or a few? I'm not caught up on numbers. I would rather have quality than quantity. I would rather have richness and depth in one person than 15 or 50, you know, that I'm trying to, you know, the whole, I went out and prayed and, you know, 500 got saved today, but I don't know any of them. I'm not spending any time with them. That's not who I am, and that's not what God is stirring in my heart to do, and God bless those that do that. You know, the seed is being sown, you know. Just amen. Go and cast some seed. Go and sow some seed. But ultimately, it comes back to relationship. We've got to begin to know and understand how to have relationship, because everything flows out of relationship. And this perfection and maturity that I'm talking about is only going to come out of relationship. It's not going to come out of, because now we have new knowledge. Now we've memorized all these scriptures. And now that we know these people, and this is what this one's saying, and this is what that one's saying. That's not how the kingdom of heaven works. The kingdom of heaven works out of relationship. Everything out of the kingdom is grounded out, is manifested in and through relationship, not only with our Father, but in and with each other. And so I even pray that, like I said, that John 17 verse, that is, if there's any verse that's ever been burnt into my heart, it's that one, that we would be one, that we would be perfected, the body of Christ, You know, and that would be, that's my prayer for us here in the city of Jacksonville, Florida, that there would be a perfected body, that there would be a community of believers that would be so perfected and so one in the Spirit that that oneness and unity would communicate. It says it in the Bible. We won't even have to say anything. That community, that oneness in the Spirit will communicate to the world that Father God did send His Son to die for them. It'll be evidenced by our love for one another. It'll be evidenced by our unity. It'll be evidenced by the presence and power of God that is sitting and manifesting on our life. And we won't have to say anything. I'm telling you, we won't have to say anything. That unity and oneness in and of itself will communicate to the world that Father God has sent His Son to die for them, that He loved them and He sent His Son to die even for them. And that unity and that oneness in the Spirit is able to communicate that. And so that's my prayer, not only for us in the city, but for in the earth, that the body of Christ would be one and that we would be perfected, that we would become whole and complete and mature in Him, in together in Him. And it's at Ephesians 2 that He's building up that tabernacle. He's building up that house in the Spirit, fitly joining us together so that He can build and establish for Himself a dwelling place in the Spirit among us. This is in the Spirit. This is about the Spirit. God is a Spirit. And this is about us learning how to be Spirit, learning how to live out of our Spirit, learning how to walk in the Spirit, learning how to abide in the Spirit. This is a spiritual thing that we're learning how to walk this thing out in and by the Spirit in the earth. So, Father, I just thank You, Father, I thank You for Your Word. Father, I thank You for the power of Your Word. I thank You, Father, that we can read Your Word, that You have left us, Father, Lord, just the testament and the testimony of Your Word, Father. I just thank You for Your Word, Father. And I just thank You, Father, for what You are speaking to us in Your Word about perfection, about maturity and completeness and wholeness. And Father, that we all would begin, Father, to desire to know the realities, to know the reality of these things. And Father, just trusting and knowing that You're going to bring us into this, that You are going to unlock this, that You are going to open this reality up for us, Father, that it is You that is faithful to do the work in us. It is You that is working, Father, Your perfect will and good pleasure within each and every one of us, Father, and for us to just simply learn how to rest, how to be at rest in You, to allow You to do in us what You're wanting to do, Father, to know, Father, how to say yes, to discern, Father, what You're doing, to understand to the measure that we could just say yes, to embrace the process, to embrace what You're doing in and around our life, Father, so that Christ can come forth in each and every one of us, so that we can enter into the fullness of a mature son. In Jesus' name. And I just thank You, Father, Lord, for this generation and for all that You're doing. And Father, to more and more, Father, get to hear, what does perfection mean? What does maturity look like? What does that look like? What is that about? Where is this going? And Father, just to grow in the knowledge and understanding of these things, Father, and begin to ponder them in our hearts more and more, and to not be afraid, Father, to overcome fear, to overcome unbelief, Father, and to know that You have given us Your Spirit, that You have given us the Spirit of truth to lead us into all truth, that You are not You will not be the one to deceive us or trick us, that You are gentle and kind and good, and it is Your will, Father, for us to get it. It is Your will for us to know the truth, to be set free, to come into the fullness, and for Christ to be formed in us, and Father, to commune with You and to know You as You are. And so, Father, to more and more, Father, I pray now that for those that are listening, Father, now, Father, to begin to reveal, Father, any fear, to begin to reveal any unbelief, Father, Lord, and for that to begin to be revealed, and Father, for truth to come, Father, for greater rest to come, for greater, deeper place of communion and relationship for You to come forth, Father, and to rest in You, and to simply know Your voice, Father, to know the unction of Your Spirit, to know, Father, the leading of Your Spirit, Father, that You will lead us into all truth, that You will guide us into all righteousness for Your name's sake, Father, just every good thing that You desire to do, Father, I pray that it would just come to pass for each and every one of us, Father, that every good thing would be fulfilled. And that, Father, that we would just begin to learn how to desire these things. And, Father, to begin to find people. Father, I ask again that you would bring people in and around our life, Father, that we could talk to about these things. And or just going through that season where you just want it to be us and you. Father, I just thank you for those seasons where it's just you and us. Father, where you've got us hidden, you've got us tucked away, and you're just wanting to spend time with us just to teach us these things from you, Father, to us. Father, I thank you that there's an anointing within each and every one of us that we have not need of a man to teach us, but it is that anointing that will teach us. And so, Father, I thank you, Father, for the anointing that is in each and every one of us, that anointing can teach us, that anointing will teach us, and for us to begin to know and to understand how to let the anointing within us teach us, Father, everything that you desire for that anointing to teach us. And so I just give you praise and glory and honor, and I just bless you, Father, and I just thank you for what you're doing, and I thank you for the generation that we're in and for the generations to come. Father, I thank you for the ending of an age and the beginning of an age, Father. I thank you for the harvest at the end of this age, Father, and for the seed that is being sown into the age to come, Father, and for the fruit of that seed, Father. I just thank you and just give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.